Everybody, have your seats.
We reign in life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. That is how worship ought to be. Paul said, I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with what? The understanding also. So that would mean I will sing in the Holy Ghost. Then I will sing in the understanding of what I sang in the Holy Ghost. So don't, so service like this is for you. Say it's for me. So don't start acting like, which type of, I'm not used to this. No, you get into the flow. When you get into a place and you're not used to it, all you need to be sure is that what they are doing, is it scriptural? If it's scriptural, you put yourself into the flow. You don't count yourself like an outcast. You don't say, no, I'm not used to this. No, it's for you. Say the flow is mine. Say the flow is mine. So it's just, you are the one that is just realizing all this way, but it has always been yours. That is how you ought to be worshiping. That is how you ought to be worshiping all this way. The flow is yours. That is how yes, a new creation, a man that has no confidence in the flesh, that worship God in the spirit. That is how you ought to worship. You sing to your God in tongues. You don't really have to go through all the words. No, your worship is actually for you. It's for you. We worship him, we sing about him for us to know him more. In our song, we know him more. In our song, we appreciate more of the things that are ours. It's not that when we sing to God that we make his head swell more or we make him do something for us. No, the worship we are giving to God is actually for who? For us. It's for us. That is part of our Philemon 1 verse 6. I've told you, worship is not different from a sermon. Well, the only thing that we use in worship is that we use the instrument of melody and we use repetition to communicate same reality to our minds. Amen. Praise God. So good morning once again. Okay. Special announcement. Don't forget, we don't only meet here on Sundays. We meet here also on Wednesday. And this Friday, please make do your best to just try and be in church from 9 p.m. And don't ask when you will go home. Amen. 9 p.m. this Friday. Just try and be in church. Just come and surrender your life again to God. Let us make you better. Amen, amen. Say, I surrender all to you. Yeah. And let's make you better. The Christian life has been lived. So it's time for you to play out your part. Tell your neighbor, say, play your part. Say, play your part, sister. Say, play your part, brother. Say, play your part, brother. See? You are still looking like you are coming from a VG. So play our part. Everybody, we must all play our part. We play our part in this move of the Spirit. There is nobody is useless in what we are doing here. You are not just learning for learning's sake. You are learning so that you can play your part. We are all going to play our part in what God is going to do in this generation, in this age. We are going to play our part. We are not going to leave the work for just saying, oh, the pastors are doing it. No, everybody, we have something to contribute. The unity of faith, we all come into the fullness of the stature of Christ. We have a part to play. In the revival that God is expecting this age and time, we all have a part to play. Say, I have a part to play. I will play my part well. Hallelujah. I have a very long sermon for you today, but thank God it's just one. Amen. One but mighty. Can the Bible be wrong? Part two. Praise God. Last week we did part one. Can the Bible be wrong? Can the Bible be wrong? Get used to this. We have not really started so much grammatical analysis of scriptures, but just get used to this. Let's see it together. The Bible is for you. It's for you to understand. It's for you to appreciate. It's for you. It's written for you. That is God's love letter to you. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15. I start this way. Don't look into the Bible to find what you can do. Please pay attention to each word. Don't look into the Bible looking for what to do, what you can do. Look for what to believe. Scriptures are written for faith. Don't read through the Bible looking for what can I do again. Look at the Bible for faith. When you are looking at the Bible, look for what to believe. 2 Timothy 3:15. Don't forget, in this place, all scripture, there's no scripture you are immune from opening. You must open everything. You must follow me as much as you can. As you are writing, you are opening. No matter the device you are using, you must open. You must open. And please, if you are not with hard copy Bible today, if you are with soft copy, please put that phone or anything, put it on flight mode. Let us enjoy these 2 hours together. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my time starts now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Verse 15. And that from a child, don't worry, it will be less. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto what? Salvation through faith. Please, don't be saying salvation then through faith. Scripture will make you wise to which type of salvation? Salvation through faith. It's a compound word. Take it together. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So when you labor on the scripture, scripture will make you wise unto which type of salvation? The salvation that is through faith. Not salvation that is through works. Amen. Say salvation. True faith. So that is what you find in the scripture. Well, I have said it. I said it in workers' meeting today. You cannot successfully preach salvation by works from this scripture. You are just dishonest. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen. Okay, now, let me explain one scripture briefly. Joshua 1 verse 8. It's a long sermon. Joshua 1 verse 8. Salvation through faith. You cannot successfully preach salvation by conduct. You cannot successfully preach it from the Bible. You will hang somewhere. You will get to some story, you will just hang. Let's see this, Joshua 1:8. Now let's see this. Want to go? Yes. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now we know that that book of law contains over more than 600 laws of Moses. So now we have a scripture that is saying that it is when you meditate on the law. Ah. But the men that had the book of the law perish in the wilderness. Abi, didn't they? That would mean for you to meditate on the book of the law, it is not for you to focus on the law. In looking, Joshua 1:8 is not telling you to cram the law of Moses. You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. But this scripture are they that testify of me. And you will not come unto me that you may have the life that you are looking for. So he's not saying look at the law. Because the people that had that book that are observing everything, they still perish in the wilderness. Are you with me? Numbers 14 verse 6. And the ones that were justified among them, we were not told they were justified because they kept the law. The ones that were justified among them, we were not told in the Bible that their justification was because they kept any law. I see Numbers chapter what? 14. Okay, let's read verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Verse 7. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with what? Milk and honey. Only rebel not. Say not in your heart. Good. Only rebel not. Rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. God's rush to verse 19. So then the people murmured. They said, no, they cannot possess the land. They said they are grasshopper. But see verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. Verse 20. Verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Has God pardoned? Okay, verse 21. And God gave them a clue. He said, if it's about me, I have pardoned. 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now this 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. 24. 1-2 go. Yes. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Wow. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Oh. So write this down. Faith is following God fully. As Caleb kept everything in the book of the law, as he kept all the laws of Moses, so what should you bring out in meditating from the book of law? Bring out faith. Faith. He said later, he said, but you guys, so as truly as you have said in my ear, as you have said in my ear, so shall be done unto you. See, now compare and contrast. See that verse, verse 20. Verse 20 said, I have pardoned according to thy word. God said, if it's about me, I have pardoned. But yet, as you have said in my ears, so will be done unto you. Do I explain that one in one other series? I said, as you have said in the ears, not in God's ear, in the ears, as you have said, so will be done unto you. So the judgment they receive, is it like from God? No, it's from them. God said, if it's about me, I have what? Pardoned. But you guys change what you are saying. Amen. Praise God. So, now you can say, but Joshua and Caleb, they are Israelites. Rush to Hebrews 11. Rush to Hebrews 11, verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Open our scripture and show your neighbor is opening the Bible. I'm not seeing Brandon. Please look for him after service. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Want to go? Yes. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So why was Rahab justified? Is it change of character or spirit of faith? Okay, so look into the Bible for what to believe. Don't look into the Bible for character modification. You will hook one day. Look into the Bible for what to believe. You see, you read, you see, then you believe. Scriptures are written for faith. I wrote this down in my book. I said, rituals don't justify. Do's and don't justify. Communion, water baptism, they don't justify. Things don't justify. I take it again. Rituals, they don't justify. Do's and don'ts. Observing do's and don'ts, they don't justify. Communion, water baptism, none of them justifies. But faith in Christ alone. Hallelujah. Say faith in Christ alone. Say scriptures are written for faith. So now, can the Bible be wrong? Part two. Now, we did few analysis last week. And today, I just go straight to analysis of the book. Number one, we have what we call historical books. Historical. Okay, how many of you read? I'm an animal fan. Okay, who also read Things Fall Apart? Good. Who can tell me the difference between the two books? Yes? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, thank you. Nice one. At least you said something. In Things Fall Apart, do we have an actual storyline of who? Ikeme Funa, right? Huh? Okonkwo, better. Okay. Huh? Who read The Merchant of Venice, right? You read that book? Okay, compare that. Let me use you. Compare that one now with Things Fall Apart. What is different? Shakespeare. English. Good English. Habana. Are you saying our Chinois? You know that Merchant of Venice was written in a... How was it written? Huh? But they're not fictions. But one was written, one was an actual storyline, but one was written in a poet, in a poetic fashion. Now, hold on. When we said historical books, okay, don't worry. When I get to Psalms, I will come back to what I'm trying to say there. Historical books are not doctrinal. Okay, who knew a story that is a actual, that is a non-fiction, a book that is non-fiction? There was a country, that was about Nigeria now. That's Biafra. Eh? Weep not. I know Yellowstone was fiction. Weep not, child. Okay? No, we have more stories that are not, that are fiction, that are non-fiction. So. The gods are not to be blamed. Eh? Eh? I bet you, now it's fiction, though. So, now, what will you observe in an historical book? A.G., the idea that in the Yellow Sun, the idea that the man put forth, all the idea will be from whose view? The writer's view. So, now, in reading such books, you will see two things. It will tell you what he perceived he saw, or what he saw, right? Okay. But at the end of the story, he will now give his own interpretation of what he saw. Are you with me? But those are what we call eyewitness accounts. That will mean I see, then I wrote down. An honest view of someone. Now, the historical books in the Bible, they are just like an honest view of somebody. Somebody wrote something as honest as he could. Say honest view. So now, so we don't doubt the writers, but that does not mean the writers were always correct. E.g., the spirit of the Lord departed from Samuel, and an evil spirit from the Lord came on him. Right? What would that be? Today we know that is not so. But did he see something? Yes. Then, and he wrote down just what he saw. Are you with me? Say, I'm a Bible scholar. Good. So, don't... Now, that is what we call historical books. Now, number two, we have prophetic books. Under prophetic books, we have prophecies and we have the prophecy. Prophecy can be diverse. Prophecy that prophecy about you will be the like about David, about Nathan that Nathan gave, about Saul, about Samuel, about just diverse prophecy. But we have the prophecy. Say the prophecy. So prophecy is what? Foretelling and what? Fore and forth, right? What is fore? Something. What is foretelling? Foretelling. That is what? Futuristic. So what is foretelling? Huh? So which one is future? Which one is past? So are both of them future? Hallelujah. Which one is foretelling? Bro, see which one is foretelling? Yes, what is foretelling? Forth now. So, can we use that to understand predestination and foreknowledge? Okay, now that's not our topic. Now, so just write prophetic. What I'm simply saying is that there are times that you saw something that will happen. You said it. Then there are times that not really that you saw something, but you want something to happen. So you said it. Hallelujah. So they are different. Now, we also have poetic books. Poetic. Say poetic. Old Roga is dead and went to his grave. Went to his grave. They planted an apple tree over. You don't know it? Kevin, my generation. So what will you see in poetry? Repetition. You will see deliberate repetition of words. Can you give me a book that has so much poetry in the Bible? Psalm, yes. Song of Solomon, yes. Job, yes. Vanity, 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 vanity. So now, it's not like there are more than one vanity in that book. But it was just a what? Repetition. Poetry. Also, we have revelational books. I'll be fast. We have revelational books. That means books that interpret other books. Hallelujah. Interpretation of the mysteries. So, under analysis of the book, we have number one. What do I call it? Historical. Number two. Prophetic. Number three. Poetic. Number four now. Revelational. Maybe I will add some more. But later. Now, we have some books in the Bible that are dual. Of course, we know that when we are saying revelation, that is just the epistles. Now, we have some books in the Bible that are actually dual. E.g., for instance, let's consider the four gospels. The four gospels, are they historical? But in a way, are they also revelational? E.g., that Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, 42. He said, you have heard of all that was, thou shalt hate your, love your friend and hate your enemy. But I say, Moses in the law said this, but I say, John chapter 8, he that is without stone among you, let him stone her. So what he completed what Moses was saying, like, he's right, so this woman deserves to be stoned. But what, the one that Moses did not add to it is that, who has the right to stone? Yes, she should be stoned, but who should stone? No, you know, he didn't counter Moses. Say, correct, she should stone. Yes, but Moses did not tell you something. Who should do the stoning? They said, Rema. Now today, he that is without sin among you is the one with the right to stone. That would mean all the stoning, all this while, the stoning of Achan was what? Stoning of Achan was what? He was just victim of ignorance. Victim of half revelation. Hallelujah. So I say some books are dual. So for instance, the gospel, you can see them as historical, yet in a bit revelational. What of Acts of the Apostles? Historical, right? Don't forget, you must add the major and the minor. The major thing in Acts of the Apostles is what? Historical. And once a book is historical, it must be interpreted. They are not directly doctrinal. Yet, in the book of Acts, it will also have revelation. Psalms now. Yes? What do we have in Psalm? Number one? Prophetic. Number two? Poetic. Number three? Why is it revelation now? Hallelujah. What of Genesis? Historical? Give me the prophecy there. You shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that one? Ojut, that is seed shall bruise his head, bruise his heel. How do you know it's talking about Jesus? It's not by the epistle. So, did that book explain itself? So, is it revelation now? Prophetic, right? Psalm is what? Prophetic. And Okay, Isaiah 53 is what? Prophetic, yes. Which book did Paul the apostle read to bring out all he wrote? Which books? Did he bring the epistle from heaven? So what happens is, just follow me. Hallelujah. So in categorizing a book as revelational, you must be very careful, because we have depths of revelation. So what we say is that the epistle are the clearest. Why I don't want you to say the epistle are the only revelational books in the Bible, we will see it later. But the epistle are the what? Clearest. The revelation of all revelations. Remember Colossians 1:27, even the mystery which from the beginning of the world was hidden, to whom God will make known his knowledge of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now don't forget, see, after service today, anything I said now that you don't understand, you can see people, like this said, I was always asking you questions. I jack one of them, okay, and ask questions. Don't go home with questions. That is why it's a church. Church is not come and pay your tithe and go home. It's not come and just perform the normal rituals and go home. No, you must go home with understanding. Amen? Now, John 1:45. So, we have done the analysis of the book. Number two, the ranking of the books. Ranking. So, the books are not ranked in themselves, but with the clarity of the utterance. Everyone was trying to say something. You know what, you were enjoying the service today? Everyone was trying to say something. John 1:45. Everybody, they were trying. Please use the word trying. Everybody were trying to say something. John 1:45. Want to go? Let's read. Yes. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Let's read again. Want to go? Yes. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of... But can you show me the name J-E-S-U-S anywhere from Genesis to Malachi? So how did they write about him? Now, see John 5:39. How did they write about Jesus? John 5:39. Oh, glory to God. Want to go? Yes. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, the graphic, the book, right? For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Now, 40, want to go? And you will not come unto me that you might have life. So, the scriptures are written about who? Jesus. Genesis to Malachi is to reveal Jesus. So, the ranking of the scripture, just write this down as I'm reading. The ranking of the scripture will now be a function of how clearly Jesus can be seen in the pages of those books. It will be a function of how clearly Jesus can be seen in those books. It will be a function, the ranking of the books will be a function of how clearly Jesus can be seen. Now, what must the book say about Jesus? What must the book say about Jesus? Is this his height, his skin color, his beard, like brosy? Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the psalm concerning me. 45, then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So that Jesus will suffer and that he will be raised from the dead the third day will be the height of revelation. See verse 47, want to go? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning as Jerusalem. So all the speakers in the Bible have the same message. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody have the same message. 2 Peter 1. Although their presentation might differ, but everybody have the same message. Say the same message. Say the same message, but different PowerPoint. Say the same message, but different application. E.g., what is Facebook made for? Communication. What of To-Go? Communication. What of WhatsApp? Communication. What of BBM? Sorry, communication. What of what else? Snapchat? Communication. What of Instagram? Communication. And which of the apps have the clearest means of communication? Text message. Go away. Which one is Facebook? If you don't have data, you have that one. Or just saying, please call me. Phone call. That one works better. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private origin. Interpretation there means origin. Say, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private origin. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 1 verse 1. So, there was no different origin. Everybody have the same message. Everybody were trying to say the same thing. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manner, okay, in time past spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, it looks like it was God that was speaking in diverse manner. But no, if you have understand, follow us in any some of the series, or you have listened to Men of God on Facebook and the rest, you will understand that it's not God that is speaking in diverse manner. God was saying the same thing, but the prophets, throughout the book of Isaiah, who was prophesying? Isaiah, right? They will say, thus saith the Lord. But who was talking? A man. So who was speaking the diversity? A man. Are you with me? But they were speaking for God. Don't look at that prophecy of Ezekiel 37. God told Ezekiel, the dry bones, right? He said, Ezekiel, I want these dry bones to live. But who prophesied? Ezekiel. So man was speaking in diverse manner, but they were speaking for God. Say for God. Good. So that's what was happening in verse 1. God see verse 2, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That is polymeros, polytrophos in verse 1. That is diverse manner, diverse sundry times. Go to verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself does what? Purge our sin, sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high. So, the same origin. That singular information is not God saying different things. Singular origin, singular motive. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. You know, in church, you must open minimum of like 200 scriptures. That is a church. Church is not where they just open Psalm 23 for you and you say, ah, hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. And I am okay. You open so much. Revelation 19, verse 10. I fell at his feet to worship him. That was John in the island of Patmos and the angel. And he said unto me, see that thou doest it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Why? For the testimony of Jesus is the... See, after me say the testimony of Jesus is the motivation behind all prophecy. That's what he's saying there. That is the motive. That was the intention. That was the reason behind all prophecy. Now, coming back to what we are saying, the prophet spoke that same singular thing out in diverse times and diverse manner. Polymeros, polytrophos. Because of that, number one, let me calm down. Why did the prophet say the same thing in different way? Number one, because of their age. A-N-I-O-N. Their age. That means the time they lived. Number two, because of their understanding. Number three, because of their audience. Their age. That means their times. Anion. That means their times. Number two, their understanding. Number three, their what? Audience. Say age. Understanding. Audience. E.g., look at Noah. Who sent Noah to build an ark? Well, we know that God is not a sailor. And God has one information. Christ Jesus. Check 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Don't forget, I said the epistles, they are purely revelational. They are very little. I didn't think you find little of history there. There we have 1 Corinthians. You have names of people, things that they did. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 11, stuff like that. But they are more of what? Revelational. So, I say 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. See this? Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. 21. 1-2 go. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. And anybody that is having issues with water baptism should read this. But the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, 20 said, what Noah prepared, look at your Bible, look at it, but don't look at me. Huh? What did I quote? It's not there. Peter. Sorry. How can you find Noah in Corinthians? Peter. So, polymeros, polytrophos. Diverse time. Can you see? I'm saying the same one thing. No, you are not hearing diverse manner. For you to understand what you are saying in that diverse manner, there was a time in John chapter 8 or chapter 9? That Jesus was speaking. He said he was saying, glorify thy... I've forgotten that. He was praying that glorify thy son. And there was a voice from heaven that said what? I have glorified it and I will yet glorify it again. Some people said, behold, he thundered. Some people said, an angel spoke to him. One voice, somebody said, see, am I the God of thunder? Another person said, an angel is speaking to him. How many information? But because of their own differences, they were hearing the same thing differently. So I say 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20. Let's read again for the sake of the late comers. Bro, to do as a ringleader. 1 Peter 3, 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein that his 8 souls were saved by water. Now, verse 21. The like figure. Stop. So, what Noah did was a figure of what? Whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the feet of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, okay, let's read that verse 21 without everything in brackets. If you have KJV, something is in brackets there. Can you see? Okay, now, want to go? The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, what did God show Noah? See Hebrews 11 verse 7. Hebrews 11 verse 7. So what Noah did was a type of something. God does not speak the type. God speaks the reality. Man will reveal and manifest and demonstrate in types. Hebrews 11 verse 7. Let me rush so that we can get to where we are going. I'm not yet halfway yet. By faith, Noah, being one of God. Remember, right? Say, being one of God. Say one Greek word. Krimatizo. Say, meaning Noah received a divine oracle. Say Noah simply received a divine revelation. But what did he do? Moved. Okay, sorry. Being one of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what was Noah warned of? Flood? No. Now, see this one now. Now, Noah cannot be one of resurrection. So Noah will be warned of what? Of the consequence of rejecting salvation. Consequence of saying no to resurrection. Are you with me? Being warned of God. So Noah was warned of the consequences. So what did he do? He moved with fear. So if scripture is about salvation through faith, then God would have warned Noah of the danger of rejecting salvation. That's what I wrote here. God would have warned Noah of the danger of rejecting salvation. So he typified that to them. How? By the ark. So is it God that told Noah, go and make an ark? No. The ark was his own teaching ministry. You will see what I'm saying. Just follow. So, he typified that to them. The prophet spoke the way they did because of their understanding and because that was how best they could present the message to those men. Now, at times, they knew more. More because of their understanding because that was the best way because of their audience that they could present the message to those men. At times, they knew more. They knew far more than they said. Check Psalm 103, verse 7. Say, church is for me. Say, I enjoy church. Say, I learn. No, you have to enjoy church by confession. Say that. You enjoy church by confessing that, I enjoy church. You still don't get me. Psalm 103, verse 7. 103, verse 7. Want to go? Yes. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Wow. So, what did Moses know? Way. What did others know? Acts. What would be his way? The way will be something close to reality. The acts will be something close to types and shadows. E.g., let's see one example. See that Numbers 21 again. Numbers again, now chapter 21. Amen, amen. With our children teacher out there, is it Dorcas? babies are quiet. Glory to God. Numbers 21. You learn the Bible. Bible is for you to learn. You learn. It's not written for declaration. It's not written for prophecy. It's for learning, doctrine, instruction, reproof, correction. Numbers 21 verse 4, brethren. And they journeyed from the mount all by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathed this light bread. And the Lord sent. Say the Lord sent. Say in fact the Lord, in capital letters, sent fiery serpents among the people. And they beat the people. And much people of Israel died. Of course, you understand that it's not the Lord. Verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. And pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is spitting, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, where he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Wow. What a nice story. Now, serpent was biting people when they, of course, because they sinned. What was biting them? Serpent, right? Okay, what animal kills serpent? Eagle, right? Any other one? Cat. Someone wants to say mongoose, Abby. Human beings. Yes. Pig. Eh? Pig kills. Wow, that's nice. So, I thought Moses should have put up an animal that can kill a serpent. Are you with me? Serpent was what was biting them. But Moses put up the same what? Serpent. Many that day would have thought that, you know, if you are walking in the senses, you'll be saying, Moses, are you okay? You will be questioning Moses' father. And in that you're questioning, what will they do? They will die there. The death will kill them. Nobody knew what was happening until Jesus came and explained. That's John what? John 3, right? Open John 3, 14. For the sake of others. It was funny. Serpent was biting them. Moses just made a brazen serpent. Put it up. Did he explain why? No. He just put it there. If you look on this, you will what? You will live. Where is John chapter 3 verse 14? 1, 2, go. Let's read together, yes. And as Moses lifted up his serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Say so love. Say God so love. Say God loved the world in like manner. That would mean in the manner of what happened, God now loved the world in the like manner. That what? Say, you want to sleep? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, see the point. Serpent was a problem. But serpent being lifted up was the solution. Right? Serpent was the problem, but serpent being lifted up was the solution. So also, sin was the problem of man, but sin on the cross, say sin on the cross, was our salvation. So sin was the problem of man, but sin on the cross, sin being lifted up on the cross, was the solution. 2 Corinthians 5:21 was there. For he has made him to be sin for us. Open, open. Look at me. For he has, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us. For God so loved in like manner. How did God love the world? The God loving the world is not, somebody will say, yeah, Bible says God loves the world, eh? That means God wants the world to be fine, wants everybody in the world to be writing on my GD and address. You know, see, God loved the world in that like manner. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, let's take it together. One, two, go, yes. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus on the cross was our sin, not our righteousness. Are you with me, brethren? Say Jesus on the cross was our sin. So if you look at the sin on yourself, you will die. But if you look at sin where? On the cross, you will live. If you keep saying, I am this terrible, I am doing this, I am this bad, I am, you will, and you will die. But if you look at that sin that has been placed on the cross, what will happen to you? You will live. Are you with me? So, how do you rank the books? Back to what I'm trying to answer since. We look out for the books. Write this down. We look out for the books that are louder on faith than the contradictions of faith. We look out for books that are louder on faith than the contradictions of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that follows. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that follows. So faith must be our focus. Say faith is our focus. Say we rank the book by faith. Now see Romans 14 verse 23. Man. Romans 14:23. Okay. For he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Let's read that latter part together. I want to go. For whatsoever is not of faith is, say whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, so what are the contradictions of faith? I will discuss two today, then we look at the Psalms, then we go. Number one, the works of the law. Don't get tired of writing. Church is once or twice or three times or for the first assembly, as often as you remember, as you do this in reverse. So church is just twice in a week. That time you come, you write, it's twice. It just depends on how long the twice is twice. So Galatians 2:16. Now, let's look at the contradictions of faith. Contradictions. Galatians 2 verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So first contradiction to faith is what I call the works of the law. Now, let me read again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That means by keeping everything that Moses said, you know, that will not bring justification. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall how many flesh? No flesh be justified. Rush to Galatians 3 verse 10. Rush. Galatians 3 verse 10. Just be looking at your Bible. Look at it. Read it. Yes, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence, for the just shall live by. So what does that mean? Just shall what? Just shall be. Man shall be justified. He just shall come alive. Shall live, shall come alive. Man will be justified by faith. Now, it's not talking about your daily conduct. See verse 12. Verse 12. Everybody want to go? Everybody? Yes? And the law is not of. Again? And the law is not of. Again? And the law. So, in your mind, when you see so much law, how should you rank it? Higher or lesser? Lesser. Why? The law is not of faith, and scriptures are written for faith. Are you with me, brethren? Good. You know, some people, they will pick the Bible, and all they want to read is just that Exodus 23, Exodus 24. All they just want to read is just Deuteronomy 28. Ah. I tell somebody, I said, just you read verse 1 to 14, you leave 15 to 60. Ah! Terrible curses. Go and check it. Say the Lord will cause boils. That's why I don't like this. Say terrible boils. Good. Like HIV, right? Hallelujah. Say we are healing practitioners. Say we take up sickness. Hallelujah. Say nothing is incurable. Yeah. Come on. Give me some high five. Yeah. That is Moana, right? You don't know what I'm doing. Okay. Galatians chapter 3. We are seeing verse 13 now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the... Say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, he said, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Say faith. Say faith. Now, see, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus on that tree was our sin, was our curse. Hallelujah. So when somebody is reading that Deuteronomy 28, they say, well, curse, if you do this, you are cursed. Say, yeah, but somebody took the curse already. Hallelujah. Say, it was hung on a tree. He took my curse. Good. Romans 3:19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know. Look at your Bible. And don't allow me to be mentioning your name. Don't this name I'm mentioning. They will not only go on live stream, they'll go into recording and they'll be there everlasting. Like anybody in my church does not know Joshua, eh? I don't know Tola, does not know who else. And where's Brother Bib? I didn't see him again. I will find him. Your name is there forever. Hallelujah. Okay, Romans 3:19. Want to go? Yes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, he saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that the world may be guilty before. Now, pay attention. So, if the motive of the law is that the whole world should be guilty before God, and later Paul told us that scriptures are not for the law, are for faith, that would mean scriptures are not written to make you guilty. Amen. Are you going to find guilt in the Bible? Yes. Are you going to find laws that tries to give you back tackle, left tackle, side kick in the Bible? Yes. But why was the scripture written? Now, I'm talking about graphy and grammar right now. The grammar, that means, what is grammar? The content, right? The information inside. Some grammars may be accusing you, but the entire graphy, the entire book is written to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. So it is the law. Are you with me? It is the law
which is not the old graphe, which is not some part of the grammar. It is the law that condemns. But scriptures are not written for law. In fact, the law is the contradiction of faith. So the entire book is not written to make you guilty.
If you don't understand, see my pastor's other service. 2 Timothy chapter 1.
So, I say number one, the works of the law. Number two now, our works. The contradictions of faith. We have seen the works of the law. Number two, see our works, our own works.
Some of you think that I will not be around when you'll be doing the 18 hours so that you can go and attach yourself to one pillar, tie yourself there with a rope, and just do like this on the pillar. Your prayer, God has rejected.
Romans, our works. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. You have to open this one. Everybody, you read this one. It's like one of the clearest scripture on salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9.
Can we take it together? Want to go? Who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. Say, who has saved us? Not according to our works. Say, checkmate. Now, Titus 3 verse 4. Titus 3, 4. Titus 3, 4. Titus, not Geisha, not the one inside Sardine. No. It's a book in the Bible. Rejoice. Open. Titus is a book. Not a fish. The one you are eating was not named Titus when this book was written. So respect the book. Okay. 3 verse 4. Want to go? But after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Ooh, hallelujah. So, he said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So, before the law was given, even before the law was given, check Genesis chapter 4 verse 3. It's not about our works, brethren. No. Not about our works. Not our works. Genesis 4 verse 3. Man. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest well, sin light at the door. Sin light at the door, that means sin offering to is at the door. You have the same sacrifice that Abel brought. You could have brought the same thing. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, so what was the issue about Abel's offering? What was the issue about Abel's offering? Faith in the blood, right? Is it the quantity? No, it cannot be quantity. Let that thing leave your mind that God accepted Abel's offering because his offering was big and came because he brought what? Rotten tomatoes, yes. Rotten tomatoes. It's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
Animals who are cursed. Are they not cursed? And they're walking on that ground. Thank you, Jerry. Spot on.
So it's not in the Bible.
I have told you, a series is coming that I think series two of series two of that one is coming. Because you are going to see. No, I told you, faith cannot be baseless. Faith must come from somewhere. Faith must be based on an information. What Cain did, it was based on an information. What Abel did, it was based on information. Who informed Abel? Adam or Eve? Who informed Cain? Adam or Eve? Selah, leave that one. Hebrews 11, verse 4. I've said a lot. Because faith must be found somewhere. Man does not act without information. So Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying by his gift and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So, now, what is the key about the book of Genesis? There was no law. Yet, we are people that are justified by faith. There was no law in Genesis, but we had people that were justified in faith. Yet, we see how the works of man. So, from Exodus, what will you find? Works of the law. But even in Genesis, what will you find? Works of who? Man. So, what Cain presented was like what? Works of man. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? So, see Hebrews 8. Now, I wrote this down. You will find faith more in the book of Genesis than any other book of Moses. You will find faith more in the book of Genesis than any other book of Moses. Hebrews 8 verse 7. Because when was the law given? Let's answer that one again. Hebrews 8 verse 7. For if that first covenant has been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, that means the law was finding fault with people. He was counting them guilty. He was saying that they are not good. And God does not want man to be living with guilt. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with the house of their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. We studied this in what? Lastly, on what? Stopping demonic activities, part 8, right? So, because they continue not in what? In Exodus 19, verse 6, right? I will make you a kingdom of priests. Eh? Because they failed, because they rejected the new covenant, then the old was given. Right? The law was given. Simple. So when was the law given? Exodus what? 20. So that's all I'm trying to say. Exodus 20. Simple. Just write that one down. That is enough for you. When was the law given? Exodus 20. Now. So since you won't find faith easily in those era from Exodus 20, you must rank those period lesser in your mind, in your study. It is foolishness to say, I'm sorry, this is why I'm saying all this, because I'm teaching people even how to read the Bible. It is foolishness to say, I read the whole Bible once in a year. I ask you now, how do you study the Bible? Say, I read everything, how long? Once in a year. It is foolishness. You must read some portions more than you read some portions. I'm sorry, I'm a pastor, I have to tell you the truth. I will not be your pastor if I'm reading everything. But I read Genesis once. You know, Genesis alone will take me how long? Maybe it take me a week. Then, and Ephesians will take maybe 3 hours. So I just read everything once in a year. Say, I've read the Bible. You won't grow. How do you grow? You will focus on periods that speak more of faith. Are you with me?
I'm not saying don't read them,
but just follow me today.
E.g., look at the characters of faith in Genesis alone. Hebrews 1.
From verse 4. We are going to scan through this one. Are you ready? But I want you to, let's do it together so it can be interesting. Hebrews 4, Hebrews 11.
You cannot say I'm just reading the whole Bible in a year. You're using a Bible in a year to read your Bible. You won't grow.
Hebrews 11. Are you there? So, verse 4. Are you there? By faith who? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Go to verse 5. By faith who? Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible. Please go. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. All these people we have mentioned, where are they? Go to verse 8. By faith, who? Abraham. Where is it? Where is he? Go to verse 9. And by faith, he sojourned in the land, dwelling in tabernacles with who? Isaac and Jacob. Where are they? Genesis. For he looked for a city which founder and maker is God. True faith, who? Sarah. Where is she? Okay, go to verse 13. This is all died in faith. Verse 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, according that he was able to raise him from the dead. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. By 22, sorry. By faith who? Joseph, right? Verse 23, now. By faith who? Moses was born. Right? He was 3 months. When was that? Exodus what? 3. 1 to 3. See verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was Exodus what? Come on now. Exodus what? That is 2 or 3. Right? Now, see verse 26. Estimating the riches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. That was Exodus what? See 2, 3, another region. Now see verse 28. Let's go slowly now. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That's Exodus what? 12, right? Are you with me? Now, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. Exodus what? 12, 13. 13, Rabbi, 13, 14, right? 13. 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. That was when? We jump from when to when? Exodus 14 to the book of Joshua. Why? In between that place, what was there? Iku. Death. Like, the writer, he didn't mistranslate. It's not there is nobody between Exodus 14 and maybe he would have seen maybe just Joshua and Caleb. All Exodus, go and sit down. Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, especially 28. Justification was hard to see in those books. So the story of how ground opened up to swallow up people is not of faith. The causes of Deuteronomy 28, not of faith. Women shall not wear what pertaineth to not of faith. How the sons of Aaron died, not of faith. Korah, Dathan, Abraham, that ground swallowed, not of faith. He didn't mention. How they stoned Achan, not of faith. They didn't mention. How fire devoured people, not of faith. So, and once it's not of faith, it's not of Christ. Follow me. I didn't say you should not read them. Read them. But in your beginning of study, don't focus on those areas. You will not grow. That's just the issue. I'm serious. I lie. Focus more on the clearest. Are you with me? All those things that when we are reading the Bible that we celebrate, all those big exploits, how David killed Goliath, how Elijah used fire to kill people, how Elijah killed the prophet of Baal, they were not exploits of faith. Please write this down if you are writing. Write this one down. Exploit of faith does not mean exploit of power. Exploit of faith does not mean exploit of power. No. It is things that spoke about redemption. Rather, they are exploits that spoke about redemption. So if you did mighty works, but it did not speak about redemption. Now, so it's only exploit that spoke about redemption that glorifies God. Death does not glorify God. Glorify God. Now, this is the reason why you must focus more on, write this down. This is the same reason why you must focus more on the prophecies of David more than his history. On his prophecy more than the historical record. You are reading David and Goliath. You are reading battles, Bathsheba, Uriah, how the son of David was trying to kill him. How you are just, no faith there. What you get? It's historical. All those things you are seeing there is so that you can understand why the psalm was written. That despite how bad he was, yes, justified. E.g., Psalm 22. I'm rushing now, don't worry. Psalm 22. Let's look at some of his psalms. Psalm 22. Come on, open your Bible. You don't get tired. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Savotati. Kola jerasti. Gripedimo zibadimo shadide. Rola sotalan notise tokilis tokevilan sovati tadawo. See, when you understand the gospel, you will understand that the punishment you deserve, you don't have to get it. The punishment you deserve, you will not get it. Don't say it's not fair. That is what God has done for you. You are looking at your past life, how you have lived. Well, that punishment you deserve, you are not to get it. You are in Christ. You are a new creation. Hallelujah. Psalm 22 verse 1. This is sweet. How does it start? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my ruin. Go to rush to verse 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gave upon me with their mouths, and as a reverend and roaring lion. 14, I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaved to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the dead. For dogs have compassed me, and the assemblies of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hand and feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stared upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my... Who was that? Was that David? You know, you can think he was talking about himself before, until you now read, pierce my hand. That was a man. You know, we are going to get to this later. Did Nathan speak anything about Christ? Say yes. Nathan, Prophet Nathan. The one I was called prophet. What did he speak? Yes, tell me. Go, John. God forgive you. Yes, your son will die. Yeah, is that one about Christ? But the sinner that Nathan was hacking. Hallelujah. was the one that was remembered. So when Nathan and David now get to heaven, what do you think will happen? They will now change roles. You sit down there, you don't know anything. Because I went to Bathsheba, you are just talking to me anyhow. Sit down, you don't know Revelation. we are getting there. Hallelujah. That book of Job, we are going back there again. Not today, anyway. Psalm 24, verse 7. You say, I like Job, baby. You know, thank God for this, our age and time. And thank God for great teachers in this time. Thank God for Pastor Seku, Pastor Nainka, and the rest. Do you know that issue of Job? It has been a mystery for years. For years. Sorry to say, even Paul did not really explain it. Like, verbatim. You understand? I didn't say he didn't talk. I said he didn't explain that, just verbatim like that. Until men are going out. You know, and until you can explain such book, Christianity will look like, don't go there. Let us do this. How can God and Satan be having meeting on your life? And we cannot disprove it. It is written. It's not written. if you want to say, but God Bible said God does not do it. I say, brother, my brother, it is written. Let's be careful, for our God is a what? Consuming fire. You know, Ajonero. No, Yoruba did that havoc. Yoruba put it like, you know, Ajoni, to man Ajoni, like a fire that burns someone, that burns people. Hallelujah. Just for you to read the above, what did God burn? Hallelujah. It took away the what? The first, then may establish the second. Took away the old covenant. The same thing was saying in Hebrews chapter 8. For finding fault with them, he said, the days come. Verse 13 now says, that which the gate and wasket old is ready to vanish away. And how did God devour? God is not a fire. It's not fire. So how did God devour the law? The death of Christ. When he said it is finished. Praise God. Not my topic. Psalm 24. You like epistle. You don't like Psalm. You are reading. Contend with them that contend with me today. Hallelujah. Psalm 24 verse 7. Are you there, brethren? Don't get tired of me. Yes, lift up your heads, O ye gates. I mean, Joshua, have you used this scripture for deliverance before? You know, when you have tried to lay hands on a lady and everything's not working, you just come, say, oh yeah, lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head. Let the king of... And this is the point. It works, so. It works, so. You now quote that Isaiah chapter, I will feed them that oppress you with their own blood. I will make them drunk in their blood as sweet wine. You don't know that one? You now rush to Jeremiah 51. Set up a standard against the world of Babylon. Make the world strong. Prepare their ambushes. Deliverance ministry. Ignorance ministry. The issue with that ministry is that they don't get delivered fully. There will always be a new demon to deal with. Monthly deliverance. Imagine Christian taking ticket for deliverance monthly. And once you are just fine, you must have a spirit. They will attach a spirit to everything. If you fail, how will they say, okay, if you are in exam, I say, okay, if you are there, you are having memory failure. It's a spirit of, you don't usually call it then, oh. And who doesn't have memory failure in exam? Everybody does. After you are cram, it just disappear. Pooh! And that's it. It's not a spiritual situation. You didn't understand. You can never forget 1 + 1 = 2. Can you forget that one? No. Amen. So they will not, even at times, they will just say, this guy is shy. You take God, see, it's not me. I will lie. It's not because of me that he failed. It's not me. This is devil. Oh, no. Thank God that we understand better. Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting door. That the King of glory coming. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. So that was talking about what? Jesus rising from hell, right? So Psalm 23. So the way Mejemoyo puts it, he says Psalm 22 will be the sufferings of Christ. 23 will now be what? Glory that follows. Sorry, 22 and 24, sufferings of Christ. See Psalm 23 right now. And the Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh him to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name. For his name. He is leading you. Why? Because of his name. Not because of your deeds. Not because of your doing. Not because of your righteousness. Verse 3. He restored my soul. Okay. Sorry. Verse 4. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup. Verse 5. Thou preparest a what? Table before me in the presence of my enemies. What are the enemies of man? Sin, death, devil. So despite of the enemies of man, you are yet crowned with glory and honor. Hallelujah. You are yet saved and redeemed eternally. Amen, amen. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many days? How many days? So if it will follow you all the days of your life, what would that mean? That is what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Any goodness and mercy that is following you every day. So is that past forgiveness or future forgiveness? Huh? If goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, that would mean you have forgiveness how long? Eternally. Hallelujah. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So those are the reality of his resurrection. Realities of his resurrection. The glory that follows. Amen, amen. Don't get that. Psalm 118 verse 14. Psalm 118 verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Wow, that's strong. Nathan did not say this. Elijah, nobody quoted Elijah for anything good. Sorry. Elijah was missing totally. Missing in translation. You cannot grow reading the story of Elisha and Elijah. Sorry. That's reality. See, yes, Psalm 118, right? Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. Woo! Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is my salvation. Say, the Lord is my safety. Verse 15. Look at your Bible. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth what? Valiantly. Hallelujah. Say, the right hand of the Lord. Say, the strength of God. Say, the power of God has done this. Psalm 107 verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. Ooh, hallelujah. For his mercy. See, three words here. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is saying you will not get the judgment you deserve, right? Then say mercy. What will mercy now do? Endure. Mercy alone is good. Now, mercy we have to endure. I will mercy you if you like it or not. Stay there. How long will it stay there? Forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say reality of his resurrection. See verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. When you are reading enemy, in the prophecy, don't look at Yara, the woman that gave you red palm oil. Bean cake, akara. That from there you now start misgiving your school. No, that is not your enemy. Your enemy of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 56. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Oh, death, where is that sin? Oh, grave, where is that victory? The strength of sin is death, and sin of sin is there, and the strength of sin is what? Is the law, right? Sorry, I missed everything together. But thanks be unto God who giveth us victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. See, I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 103, verse 1. You can see these realities. No, that was why I'm saying we cannot totally say the Old Testament are not revelational. But you must the epistles are the clearest. So what I'm seeing here is both prophetic of what will happen, yet revelational. Hallelujah. Because Nathan did not know this. Nathan, We deal with that guy. What he did to David, we are going to repay him. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. No, there was a series that Pastor Onyeka, he dealt with Moses. So after six series dealing with Moses every day. I say, okay. So Moses, I hope you will forgive me right now. I say, okay, let's leave Moses. Let's focus on others. Say, Moses will say, finally. Amen. You know, they think that they have escaped. No, they didn't escape. We showed them. Show the world. Psalm 103, verse 1. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? Let's read the Omajib that follows. Yes, number 3. Who forgiveth all glory to God. Sweeter than Omajib. Amen, amen. You should not buy Omajib. I'm saying, what are the things in, what are the benefits? It's there. It's not me. It's there. Amen? Who forgiveth how many? All my iniquities. And he let how many? All thy diseases. Amen, amen. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Say, I can never go to hell. Somebody is doing like this. Like Tefiti. Say I can never go to hell. Say it's not my type of person that goes to hell. Say this is not a confession. It's reality. Like it or not, you will see me there. I'll be. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 4, who redeemed my life, thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Verse 5, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, hallelujah, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Wow. So what did Moses know? Forgiveness, right? Moses understood forgiveness, but he gave them pepper. He peppered them. Okay, verse 8, that's how we won't forgive him easily. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Wow, and plenteous. Hallelujah. So if you want to use the ratio of God's anger to God's mercy, he said slow, he walks like a tortoise in anger, but in mercy, what? He flies like a jet. Hallelujah. So that, but when you come into the epistle, you will see that slow to anger is no anger. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the wrath of God, instead of putting it on you, he plays it on his son, on himself. On himself. That's the point. So the psalm is trying to comprehend. You see that this God doesn't have anger at all? Okay, let's write slow. That's the same thing they say in Psalm 30, verse 5. Say, for his anger endured for a moment. But in his favor, his lifetime. What he saw is his favor. But because they cannot, is it that he doesn't have anger at all? There will be small. Let's put small there. Hallelujah. But there was none. For Christ took it all. Amen, amen. Follow me. Don't get tired there. Verse 12. No. And verse 9. He will not always shine, neither will he keep his anger forever. Wow. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Wow. Checkmate. He just answered Moses in Exodus 20 verse. Therefore, I will. The iniquity of the father, I will visit the iniquity of the father on the children, on the fourth generation. He just answered him, saying, no. Say, God does not deal with us after our sin. Mm. So, what you see as the physical repercussion of sin is not a judgment of God. It's not. Don't get tired there. Verse 11. Why? No, there is a reason, though. There's a reason why he does not deal with us after our sin. He's there. See verse 11, yes? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. 12, as far as the east is from the west, so at he what? Say removed. slow down. Say removed. Say removed. That means that anger was what? Removed. Say removed. So because of his son, in his son, what does he do? He removed. I've told you, hell was a location for sin. Hell was created for your sin. Why do we have hell? So that Jesus can bear your sin, take it there, and the sin will never surface again. So why do people go to hell? They remain identified with sin. Amen. Good. Verse 11, right? For as if heaven is high above, so great is meant towards him, fear him, as far as the east, and I've told you, east to west, can they ever meet? So how far have you been removed from your sin? Too far. Say too far. Say too far to be measured. Okay. He removed our transgression from us. 13. Like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear him. Hallelujah. So much, so much, so much. So study everything, but feast more on that. In the historical record, you will see David being pursued by Absalom. Absalom. Ah! So David has sinned. Absalom is pursuing it. Pursuing it. Pursuing it. Running up and down. Mm-mm. But in the psalm, we saw a God that does not punish because of sin. Glory to God. Say he has not treated us like we deserve. So, looking at the historical record, Nathan condemned David for his sin and judged his baby dead. But what do we see? Look at the psalm. Psalm 130, verse 3. Oh, glory to God. Verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark what? Iniquity. O Lord, who shall stand? Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So if God will mark iniquity, will Nathan stand? Nathan, will he stand? So that's wages of sin. He took it, amen? That life that we didn't deserve, he gave us. Say the wages of sin, he took it away. So how do you study the Bible? Sir, play the keyboard for us. How do you study the Bible? You focus more on what? Faith. Focus more on faith. There is a ranking in the Bible. Bible has ranking. The student of the world must focus more on some than on the others. Amen, amen. Praise God. You must focus more on faith. On faith. On faith. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Somebody in the Old Testament saw this, wrote it down. Old Testament. And until today, we are still quoting what? Some people are still quoting what? Law of Moses. He said he has not deal with us like we deserve. You know, that picks the entire 600 law of Moses. Trashed everything. He said God has not treated us like we deserve. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray in tongues where you are. Pray in tongues. Oh, yeah. Oh, my debt is paid. Is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus paid. Now the cross of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free
in the other death of Christ, my salvation for your love poured out over me.
Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor to thee.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues. People get ill by just believing that Jesus loved them, that God loves them, that God is good. So please, why are we not having these things on the projector? Oh, yeah.
Praise and honor
to thee. Oh, my debt is paid. Oh, my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus paid. Now the cross of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, it's free. Salvation for your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia. Praise and honor to thee. Majesty,
your praises found me just as I am, empty and dead, but alive in your hand. So we sing, Majesty.
So we sing,
Majesty.
And forever,
forever I am changed by your love.
In the presence
of your Majesty.
Oh,
we sing in Majesty.
Majesty,
your grace has found me, your grace has found me just as I am,
empty handed,
but alive in your hands.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Majesty. Empty handed, but alive in your hands.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us Amen. Amen. I have an assignment for you. Like, I didn't think it's for everybody. Like, perhaps during some of these altar calls, you came up with somebody maybe for a pulpit call. When they were saying, okay, if there's somebody here, you have done something before, come and the man of God will pray for you and all those stuff. You and somebody that you know came out together then. Look for them. Share this message with them. Share Romans 8 verse 1 with them. Look for that person. Set him free. Set him free, okay? Set him free. Perhaps you and somebody did something together, but both of you came out for an altar call. Well, you are free because you are here. He is not free. Guilt can kill. Condemnation can kill. But by the word, we uphold righteousness. What Jesus has done. Plus nothing, minus nothing.
Majesty. Majesty.
Grace has found me
just as I am.